أحمده ونستغفره
ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، then to continue with شرح السنة of Imam al-Barbahari رحمه الله with the explanation of Sheikh Saleh al-Fawzan حفظه الله. The last time we had points number 89 and the beginning of point 90. So just to summarize some of what we had, then the first point was with regard to the fact that Allah the Most High showed His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam what was going to occur in his nation until the day of resurrection. And he showed him some of the major things that were going to occur in his nation right until the establishment of the last hour. And Shaykh al-Fawzan made the point that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam does not know the ghaib, the hidden and the unseen. Indeed, no one from the creation knows al-ghaib, the hidden and unseen. Only Allah the Most High knows that. However, Allah the Most High shows some things from it to His prophets for the benefit of their call, for the benefit of their calling, their people. He makes them aware and shows them some things from that for them to tell their followers. And likewise, our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was shown some of the things from that, such as the signs of the hour, the signs of the hour, things that are going to occur before the hour occurs, signs that it's coming close. And he told his nation of those things. And with regard to the splitting of the Ummah, that his nation would indeed split, which is the next point. This was Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was informed of this, so that therefore he could inform his nation so that they could beware of that. And that leads on to the 90th point, that indeed this nation will split into 73 sects. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam informed that this nation will split into 73 sects. Now, all of them will be in the fire except for one. When they said, who is that, the Messenger of Allah? He said, that which I and my companions are upon today. So, Shaykh al-Fawzan, he brought the evidences, a number of ayahs, showing that Allah the Most High has commanded us with uniting. Uniting upon the truth. Not just uniting upon anything. Well, he's commanded us with uniting upon the truth, upon the book and the sunnah, what's indicated by the book of Allah and the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we unite upon that. And he has forbidden us from splitting apart and dividing, whether it's based upon desires, whether it's based upon blind following the fathers and forefathers, whether it's based upon following the Jews or the Christians or the like. Whatever reason, Allah has forbidden us from splitting. Then he made the point that as for differing, then in matters of aqidah, creed and belief, differing is forbidden. It's not permissible to differ in matters of aqidah, creed and belief, and in the fundamentals of the religion. That is not permissible. Rather, it's obligatory to agree upon it and to unite upon it. Then he mentioned, as for the issues of fiqh, details of fiqh, then differing may occur in those affairs. But even there, what's obligatory, if differing does occur in matters of fiqh, is that we refer and return back to the truth, whatever's strongest in accordance to its evidence, and in best accordance to the truth. And we leave aside opinion. And he made the point that splitting, contrary to what is commonly heard, splitting is not a mercy. The splitting of this nation is not a mercy at all. Rather, it's a punishment. And the ayahs are a proof against that idea of the people. Rather, being united is a mercy. Splitting is a punishment. However, it's a reality, as Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us, that this nation will divide into 73 sects, and that one of them will be the saved sect, the one saved from that threat of the hellfire, who are that sect, who are upon that which Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions were upon. As for the rest of the sects, all the other 72, then they have that threat of the hellfire. And Shaykh al-Fawzan made the point, it doesn't mean that we say that they're all disbelievers. They'll all be in the fire forever and they're disbelievers. Rather, they vary. Those sects, the 72, they differ and vary. Some of them, no doubt, will enter the fire on account of their being upon disbelief. Whereas others from them will be have a less serious crime than that. They'll enter the fire on account of sins. And as for the Jama'ah, the united body who are upon the truth, then Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, he made clear that they are the ones who are upon the truth, even if it is just a single person. And a proof for someone being the Jama'ah, or a proof for people being the Jama'ah, the united body upon the truth, is not the fact that they are numerous. They have to be numerous. No. The fact that they are upon the truth, whether they are many or whether they are few. And as Shaykh Fawzan mentioned, it can be a single person who is upon the truth. And the important thing is that they are upon that which Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions are upon, and if they are upon that, then they are the Jama'ah. Then Imam al-Barbahari rahimahullah continues what occurs here on page 424, continuation of the 60th point, that he said, هكذا كان الدين إلى خلافة عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه الجماعة كلها وهكذا في زمن عثمان فلما قتل عثمان رضي الله عنه جاء الاختلاف والبدع وصار الناس أحزابا وصاروا فرقا فمن الناس من ثبت على الحق عند أول التغيير وقال به وعمل به ودعا الناس إليه. The Imam al-Barbahari rahimahullah, he said, having mentioned the affair of the saved sect of the Jama'ah, he said, this is how the religion was until the Khilafah of Umar ibn al-Khattab, the single Jama'ah. And likewise in the time of Uthman. Then, when Uthman radiallahu anhu was killed, schism, splitting and differing, and innovations came about. The people split into parties and sects. Amongst the people were those who remained upon the truth when the changes first started to occur. They spoke with it, they remained upon the truth, they spoke with it, acted upon it, and called the people to it. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, he said in explanation, he's saying, هكذا كان الدين إلى خلافة عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه الجماعة كلها وهكذا في زمن عثمان. He said, this is how the religion was till the time of Uthman, till the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, the single Jama'ah. And likewise in the time of Uthman, Shaykh al-Fawzan said, in the lives of the companions and the Tabi'een, companions of the Tabi'een, the next generation after them, those who opposed the truth in that time there, those who opposed the truth hid themselves. They kept themselves hidden. and they concealed themselves amongst the people, such as the Qadariya and other than them. This deviant sect, Qadariya, in that time they had to keep themselves hidden. And that was on account of the strength of Islam and the strength of the Muslims, until the Jews infiltrated a man, a Jewish man, from Yemen, who was called Ibn Sauda, Abdullah ibn Saba, the Jew. So he, this individual, he came to Al-Madinah, and he manifested Islam. Made an outward show, he was a Jew, he made an outward show, that he came to Medina, and made an outward show of being a Muslim. He came to Medina, and he manifested Islam in the Khilafah, the Caliphate of Uthman, radiallahu anhu. And he began vilifying Uthman, speaking ill of Uthman in gatherings, because he was just claiming Islam as a plot. He is just claiming to be a Muslim as a plot against Islam. This man, Abdullah ibn Saba, this founder of the religion of the Rafid, the Shia. The Shaykh said, so he began vilifying Uthman in the gatherings, because he was claiming Islam only as a plot. Then he started spitting out his poison in gatherings, and the foolish ones attended. The foolish people attended. And the scoundrels, evil people, evildoers, and the ignorant ones. And some people, or indeed many people, they desire vilification. They like to hear people being abused, being spoken ill of. And they like qeel and qaal, rumour mongering. So therefore they gathered around him. And when his reality became known, and he was expelled from Al-Madinah, he went off to Egypt. And he found a village in Egypt which was famous for dissension, splits and the like. So he immersed himself in it. And he spread his poison in it. And he vilified, spoke ill of Uthman. Then in the end, he organized a group of them, having weapons and strength. So they came to Uthman, radiallahu anhu, and raised objections to him, and declared him to be upon error, declared him to be in error. So Uthman, radiallahu anhu, he responded to them, and refuted their doubts. Then they went back, and they came, they brought some claims to Uthman. So he refuted them, and rebutted them. So then they went back. Then they rebuked themselves whilst they were on the way, and they said, we have achieved nothing. Then they went back to Uthman, radiallahu anhu, and they besieged him in his house. They encircled him whilst he was in his house. And the companions wanted to defend the Khalifa. However, Uthman, radiallahu anhu, forbade that, for fear of fitna, for fear of discord, and for fear of shedding blood. He forbade them from that, hoping that the affair could be dealt with on the basis of discussion and examination. He wanted to convince them. However, when they saw that they could not reach anything by using evidence, and they sprang upon him during the night, whilst the rest of the people were sleeping, and they killed him, radiallahu anhu. When they saw that their false doubts had been refuted, and that they were not going to be accepted, then they seized the opportunity at a time of inattentiveness. Sheikh said, and most of the people were performing Hajj, and this was in Dhul-Hijjah, the month of Hajj. Most of the people were performing Hajj, and the people still in Medina were asleep in security, and the matter was under discussion and being examined. So they sprang upon him by night. May Allah disfigure them. They sprang upon him in his house and they killed him as a martyr, radiallahu anhu, whilst he was reciting the Quran, and he had the Mus'haf, the written copy of the Quran, so that his blood spilled onto the Mus'haf, radiallahu anhu. So then fitna, discord, occurred. In a footnote they mention that you can refer to two books here. You can refer to the book Ithaf al-Jama'ah of the Noble Sheikh Hamoud At-Tawijiri, rahimahullah, and the book Fitnatu Maqtali Uthman of Dr. Muhammad Al-Ghabban. The second one, a book of research about this whole issue, this fitna, this discord that came about, the whole issue of the killing of Uthman radiallahu anhu. Then Sheikh Fawzan said, and this filthy one, again referring to that, Abdullah ibn Sabah, one who started off this fitna. And this filthy one, he claims that the Khilafah should have been for Ali, and that it was not for Abu Bakr, nor for Umar, nor for Uthman. Rather, that it should have been just for Ali, and that Ali was the one personally appointed to take over by Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that those people had wrongfully seized the Khilafah and taken it by force from Ali. These are all the claims of this Abdullah ibn Sabah. Sheikh Fawzan said, and the amazing thing is that Ali radiallahu anhu did not claim this, nor did he seek the Khilafah, nor did he say, I have more right to it. In this claim that Abdullah ibn Sabah came with, even Ali radiallahu anhu, who was alive at that time, never made any of these claims. The Sheikh said, rather he gave the bay'ah, he gave the pledge, and he heard and obeyed his brothers, the rightly guided khulafa, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, jami'an, all of them. So then, I mean, when this man, he caused this fitna, all this happened, and then Uthman radiallahu anhu was killed, so then al-fitna, discord, occurred between the Muslims. And fighting occurred between the Muslims on account of this filthy one. This one who infiltrated the ranks of the Muslims. However, Allah caused his hopes to become frustrated. It is correct that tribulations occurred between the Muslims. Some of them were killed by others, or some of them were killed. However, this did not do anything to Islam. Islam, and all praise is for Allah, remained strong and established, and he did not damage Islam at all. This Abdullah ibn Sabah, obviously his plot was, he was an infiltrator. He plotted to infiltrate, pretend to be a Muslim, cause division amongst the Muslims, so the whole religion would fall apart. So no doubt discord occurred, and fighting occurred, but the religion, alhamdulillah, remained. So he attained nothing in that regard. And the Sheikh said, and he, and the Jews, did not damage this religion. And all praise is for Allah. Yes, some calamities occurred for the companions, and discord, and fighting. However, this was all in Allah's cause. This was all in the cause of Allah. رضي الله عنهم وأرضاهم. May Allah be pleased with them, and cause them to be pleased. And this filthy one did not really achieve anything. and all praise is for Allah. So this is a summary of the affair of the fitna, of the discord, which came about on account of the killing of Uthman radiallahu anhu. And this is something which shows that it is not permissible to rebel against the ruler. In one of the stories that we can learn from this incident, one of the points we can learn from this, as the Sheikh said, this is something that shows that it is not permissible to rebel against the ruler. And that rebelling against him brings about evil in the nation and the shedding of blood. And the people have continued to suffer from fitan, from trials and tribulations, from discord, from that time. From that time, the time of the killing of Uthman radiallahu anhu, until this time of ours now. This nation of ours has continued to suffer discord and trouble. And you know about the callers to discord, those who call to fitna, discord, and to rebellion against the rulers. And with the excuse of correcting the evil. Those who call Muslims to rebel against their rulers, what's their excuse for doing so? They say we're correcting the evil. The Sheikh said, the Mu'tazila arose, and the Khawarij, all of them from this aspect. In the sect of the Mu'tazila, in the sect of the Khawarij, they both arose and grew from this point here. Rebelling against the rulers with the excuse of correcting evil. Sheikh said, and they still continue until this time. And he said, he's saying, فَلَمَّا قُتِلَ عُثْمَانَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ جَاءَ الْإِخْتِلَافُ وَالْبِدَعُ. So when Uthman رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ was killed, and schism, splitting, and differing came about, and innovations. Sheikh al-Fawzan said, it is obligatory to beware of the callers to misguidance, and their affair should not be treated lightly, and that it is not permissible to speak against the rulers. And therefore, he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, enjoined hearing and obeying, and not rebelling against those in charge of the affairs, even if they are tyrannical, and even if they oppress, and even if they are sinful, as long as they do not reach the level of clear and open kufr, clear and open disbelief. This is how Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, enjoined us, not rebelling against them, rather hearing and obeying. He said, he's saying, وَصَارَ النَّاسُ فِرَقًا فَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ ثَبَتَ عَلَى الْحَقِّ عِنْدَ أَوَّلِ التَّغْيِيرِ وَقَالَ بِهِ وَعَمِلَ بِهِ وَدَعَى إِلَيْهِ. He said, and the people became sects. So from the people were those who remained firm upon the truth when things first changed. Right at the start, when things started to change, the people changed, there were some who remained upon the truth, and who spoke with it, and acted upon it, and called to it. Sheikh al-Fawzan said, when the firq, when the sects came about, and differing, then Allah caused the people of the truth to remain firm upon the truth, and upon the sunnah. And they proceeded upon that which the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his companions, radiallahu anhum, had been upon. And the other sects, they contradicted what the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his companions had been upon. So therefore, they became deserving of the threat of the fire, in accordance with the degree of what occurred from them. Then Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he continued فكان الأمر مستقيما حتى كانت الطبقة الرابعة في خلافة بني فلان انقلب الزمان وتغير الناس جدا وفشت البدع وكثر الدعاة إلى غير سبيل الحق والجماعة ووقعت المحنة في كل شيء لم يتكلم به رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا أحد من الصحابة. So the affair remained in order until the Khilafa of Banu so-and-so. Then the times changed. The people deteriorated greatly, and innovations became widespread, and there came to be many callers to other than the way of truth and the Jama'ah. Trials occurred regarding everything that neither Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam nor any of his companions had spoken about. Sheikh Fawzan, hafidhullah, he said, he's saying, فَكَانَ الْأَمْرُ مُسْتَقِيمًا حَتَّى كَانَتِ الطَّبَقَةُ الرَّابِئَةُ فِي خِلَافَةِ بَنِي فُلَانٍ انْقَلَبَ الزَّمَانِ وَتَغَيَّرَ النَّاسُ جِدًّا وَفَشَتِ الْبِدَعُ. He said, so the affair remained in order until the Khilafa of Banu, of the tribe of so-and-so. Then the times changed greatly, and innovations became widespread. Sheikh Fawzan said, differing increased, and fitan, trials and tribulations, discord increased, after the excellent generations had passed away, until there came the time of the Abbasiyin, the Abbasid Khalifas, and Al-Ma'mun Al-Abbasi appeared amongst them. One who mentions here the beginning of the time of the Abbasids, and this Khalifa Al-Ma'mun, he became the Khalifa in the year 198, the end of the 2nd century, end of the 2nd century here. 198. He said, and he was followed by Al-Mu'tasim and by Al-Wathiq, and they adopted the saying of the Jahmiyya, deviant sect, the Jahmiyya, and they wanted to force the people of the Sunnah upon it. And it is the saying that the Quran is created. This saying of the Jahmiyya, this deviant saying of the Jahmiyya, the Qur'an is something created. Then these rulers here, they took hold of that saying, and they wanted to force the Ahlul Sunnah, for the Sunnah, to accept it. And they killed some of the Imams, and they lashed others from them. However, the truth remains firm, and all praise is for Allah. It does not depart. His saying, وَكَثَرَ الدُّعَاةُ إِلَى غَيْرِ سَبِيلِ الْحَقِّ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ, and the callers to other than the way of the truth and of the Jama'ah became many. Sheikh Fawzan said, many people today say that they are du'at, they are callers, and that they are jama'at, they are groups, and there are sects beneath this cover of da'wah, of calling, being du'a, callers. And what they want is to call the people to misguidance, except for those whom Allah has mercy upon, from those who remain upon the call to the book and the sunnah and the methodology, the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in his call. And this one is upon truth. The one who is a caller who calls to this and remains upon this way, calling to the book and the sunnah, to the way which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upon, truly, in his call, then he is upon truth. He is upon truth. And this is the call of truth. Not everyone who carries the name of da'wah Not everyone who carries the name of giving da'wah will be correct until his methodology, his manhaj, is looked into, the methodology which he proceeds upon. So if he proceeds upon that which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions were upon, then he is a caller to truth. And if he is contrary to that which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upon in the methodology of da'wah, then he is upon batil, falsehood. So a person should not be deceived by someone saying that he is from the callers, from the du'at, from the callers. For indeed there are du'at, there are callers who are at the gates of the hellfire, and whoever obeys them, they will cast him, they will throw him into it, they'll cause him to be thrown into it, just as he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said. And in the footnote they quote the hadith for this, that this is a part of the hadith of Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, and it contains the wording that Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu said, the famous hadith about the different stages in the future, what will happen to this religion. We used to become good, we used to become evil. Imagine then Allah gave this good to us, will there be any evil after this good? It's the hadith. And he said within that hadith, I said, so will there be any evil after this good? So he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, Na'am, du'atun ala abwabi jahannam, man ajabahum ilayhi, qadhafuhu fiha. He said, yes, there will be callers at the gates of the hellfire. Whoever responds to them, in that, they will cause him to be cast into it. He said, I said, O Messenger of Allah, describe them to us. So he said, they have our skin, and they speak with our tongue, they speak with our language. So I said, and what do you command us if that reaches me? What do you command me if that reaches me? He said, Talzam Jama'at al-Muslimina wa Imamahum, that you adhere to the united body of the Muslims upon the truth and to their ruler. Reported by Al-Bukhari in his Sahih, it should be hadith number 3606 and 7084, 3606 and 7084, and reported by Muslim as hadith 1847. Then Sheikh Fawzan said, back to the text, the explanation, he said, and therefore the author said, وَكَثَرَ الدُّعَاتُ إِلَى غَيْرِ سَبِيلِ الْحَقِّ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ, and there became many callers to other than the way of truth and the jama'ah. Sheikh Fawzan said, just as is the case now, there are many who claim that they are calling to Islam underneath this cover. So if their manhaj, if their methodology is looked into, and their activities, then they are found to be in total opposition to Islam. He said, his saying, وَوَقَعَتِ الْمِحْنَةُ فِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ لَمْ يَتَكَلَّمْ بِهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ وَلَا أَحَدٌ مِنْ أَصْحَابِهِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ. He said, and trials came about with regard to everything which Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had not spoken about, nor anyone from his companions radiallahu anhum, may Allah be pleased with them. He said, Sheikh Fawzan said, speech became plentiful and differing and rumour mongering and claims of knowledge. However, all of this will fade into insignificance, and what is indicated by the book and the sunnah will remain. And it is the sound methodology and the straight path. However, this requires two matters. The true manhaj, the true methodology will remain, that which is indicated by the book and the sunnah. that being the straight path. He said, however, this requires, this needs two matters. Firstly, al-ilm al-nafi' requires beneficial knowledge, ilm, by which that which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions and those who followed them upon good were upon. And to make sure that you are going to be upon that correct methodology, that correct way, requires two things from you. Firstly, al-ilm al-nafi', beneficial knowledge. So that therefore, with that beneficial knowledge, you can know what was the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what is actually the way that he and his companions were upon, and those who followed them upon good. What is that way? Secondly, as-sabr wa-thabat. It requires patience and firmness, and that you do not move away, depart along with the discord, with the trials and tribulations, or along with the callers to misguidance. Rather that you should be thabit, you should be firm, and be patient upon whatever strikes you, from rebukes and blame or threats, as long as you are upon the truth, then be patient. وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. Surah Luqman, the 31st surah, ayah 17. For the explanation, and have patience upon whatever befalls you. Indeed, that is from those affairs which Allah has firmly commanded. Alhamdulillah, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad, subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.